Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, everybody. Welcome along to All Net, the Irish Examiner basketball podcast. I'm Conor Meaney. I'm joined by my co-host, Kieran Shannon. And we have used the entire show's budget for the season by bringing in Kieran Donaghy for the first episode. Lads, you're very welcome.
Glad to be here.
No budgets, Conor. No budgets.
Not at all.
I was told by Mr. Kieran Shannon, my author, that this was a favour.
Yeah, everything in Irish basketball is a favour, absolutely. So, look, I guess the goal of this is to give people a little bit of a whistle-stop tour of what's going on in Irish basketball over the next couple of weeks, and particularly in the lead-up to the Cup at the end of January, which is obviously the big kind of staple in the Irish basketball diary. But, Kieran Shannon, like, I guess you dip in and out a fair bit of around the leagues and different things. What's the kind of state of the nation at the moment in terms of Irish basketball from the outside? And I guess Kieran can give us a bit more insight from who actually playing within it.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose when it comes to the national leagues, I suppose we're looking at a bit of possibly a changing of the guard. I mean, if you look at it, look briefly in the women's game, well, I think Glanmire will be there, thereabouts again to contest for the league. You know, they were knocked out in the first round as cup holders. They were knocked out by Trinity Meteors, who are becoming a bit of a power. You know, Dana Finn now has been joined by Claire Amelia. And then in the men's game, I mean, over the last 6 or 7 years, I suppose most of the titles have been won by Temple Oak. Marion, you know, won a great league and have always been up there. And obviously, look, Tralee with Kieran have been the standard bearers for the last 5 or 6 years, either winning basically a Champions Trophy or a league, or last year they won both the league and cup. Whereas this year, while they've had slow starts before, this is now getting concerning. They're out of the cup and they're 2-6 in the league. So you have other new teams contending. You know, you have obviously Marie are becoming a power, Neptune, with Jordan Blunt back, and the whole energy and promotion they have there is Tralee-esque. So, you know, that's what I'm seeing, is that we probably, you know, Tralee are capable of going on a rip, and Kieran will be able to tell us more. But you are possibly looking at a team winning the league that hasn't won it in quite a while.
Yeah, it's I've certainly, just before I bring you in, Kieran, it's I've been watching a fair bit of it now, and the league seems incredibly balanced. That I'd say more so than probably the, like, over the last 5 years, particularly in the men's league, it's kind of, you're getting 4, 5, 6 teams able to compete for the title. And I think we're seeing even that again this year, though. It's probably even a little bit deeper than that. It's a deep league where there's really only the top, at the bottom, maybe 3 or 4 teams who may struggle to beat the top teams on any given night. But there's certainly a lot of depth there, and it makes your job difficult, Kieran. You've been there or thereabouts in a lot of games, but there's not a lot of kind of easy wins that come around now just to kind of boost that confidence back up.
Yeah, no, 100%, Conor. The league's incredibly strong at the moment, and it's great to see the game kind of thriving at that level. That's what you want. You want kind of every weekend and not really sure who's going to win or lose a game. I think, you know, in my first few years, when we were battling Temple Oak, I think we lost maybe 3 games and lost the league because they lost 2. And you were kind of looking around every weekend at who you were playing and who they were playing. And it was a real chase. And there was rarely an upset. Whereas I think this year, it's incredibly competitive in both conferences. And, that top 4 teams that's going to go through from both conferences come the playoffs is where I think this Super League is going to really get hot and get exciting with knockout basketball, considering I would say both the top four teams in each conference will fancy a go off anybody. So I don't think that's even been the case over the last few years. So that's really exciting to look forward to. But yeah, the league is really strong at the moment. The teams are both imports and Irish players improving all the time. It's made it really hard. You know, it's made it really hard, and it's great to see, as Kieran said, you know, the job that Marie have done, you know, with their Irish players, their imports, they're really gelling. They've got size, they've got speed, they've got athleticism. They've rock all kind of keeping the whole show together. You've Paul Freeman coming off the bench, doing his gritty work that he needs to do. And, you know, they've got a real good balance. And then likewise, Neptune in that conference and Ballincollig, who we played 2 weeks ago, are really strong with Ronan O'Sullivan back now. He's another big body, 6'7" and around the paint, obviously along with Adrian and the lads around the place. And yeah, it's a great league and really competitive and tough to get a win. And I can say that from a truly point of view, because we've only got two of them.
Kieran, just before we go into it, just stepping back from the actual, like, the basketball side of stuff, like the actual, like, the players and everything else, there's, I think you could probably say, like, it's probably the Trinity Warriors' impact that you're seeing now, teams kind of finally following suit with what you guys were probably doing 5 years ago, that you kind of go to Neptune Stadium now and you're seeing the light show as the players come on. Kieran Shannon, like, you know, you've documented the world of Irish basketball better than anybody. It's like, and you know what that kind of show can be like. We're starting to see it around the country where people are kind of following suit and have realized that this is the way it needs to go.
Yeah, look, what made basketball make such a breakthrough in the 80s, it was the first sport I found, definitely a first team sport, which packaged sport as more than sport, that it packaged itself as entertainment. You weren't just shivering in the rain and hearing an old pipe band playing. You walked into the Procol Hall, the Neptune Stadium, and the chart music was just blaring. That, you know, even the warm-up was part of it. You know, we used to go an hour early, not just to make sure we got in, but to see, you know, the Strickland and Troyes, the way they warmed up, Tom O'Sullivan trying to dunk without actually dunking, and just that whole razzmatazz that built up to it. And, like, it, you know, one of the things, I suppose, like, is bringing kids along. Like, I'm actually bringing a team that I coach here in Clare. We're playing in the Cork Ladies Under 16 Blitz, and we're staying around for the Neptune Aina game, and it'll be the girls' first time to see that. You know, we're making sure that they stay on to just see what basketball can be like, you know, and we plan to bring them down to Tralee as well, because, like, even going down to Tralee, like, I did the book with Kieran at the end of 2016. The book came out just as Tralee were back in the league, and it took me a few months to come down, and he remember him saying, you've got to come down, and in February I got down to see them play Swords Thunder with Isaac and Cole playing. It was like going back into the 80s in the Procol Hall, you know, and that's what Neptune are doing at the moment, is going back to your point, like, clubs for too long were probably just going through the motions, defeatist almost, not taking, even asking people, you know, you've nearly got people expect to pay now, you know, like, sometimes people were just showing up into the hall, getting in for free, and they weren't putting a value on what they were seeing, whereas now, no, you have to pay in. Because you know what? It makes us have to raise the whole thing. And, like, it's like on a Saturday night, going to the Neptune Stadium at 6:30, where else would you want to be? And, you know, the same way that Tralee have created that, 8:00 on a Saturday night, where else would you want to be but down in the sports center?
It's Kieran, I can't remember if it was you or I think it was Goran Pantovic was over one of the first years when you guys came back up, and I remember talking to him, and he was kind of saying, look, it was difficult at that stage for Tralee, because they had home games were one type of thing, and then you could go to away games where there might be 50 people sitting in a school gym on a bench, and it was kind of hard to kind of even get up for some of these away games where they're trying to, like, you don't want to get caught out on the road where there's no atmosphere. But have you noticed, like, over the last couple of years that people really have kind of, they're not fully there yet and there's still a lot of work to go, but that people are starting to kind of up their game?
Yeah, look, it's, you know, when I saw opening night Neptune, I was like, there's another one on board. It's brilliant. But we went up to Maori, I think, in the third game of the season, into the NUIG facility there, and it's a fabulous hall. But normally the last few years you played in it and it's been relatively empty. But I was talking to their PRO beforehand, and you know, he said, oh, we went into the schools today with the players, or during the week with the players, and you know, they're letting the school kids in for free. And he said, we've got feedback, and I think there's around 200 coming. But obviously with 200 school kids, there's probably 200 parents or 100 parents that are coming as well. So now you've 300 or 400 in the hall before you do anything. So Kieran's right. It does take a bit of effort. Obviously, our committee do a huge amount of work in the kind of the show element of it. But Connor, you were coming to the complex long enough, and you know, teams would always kind of nearly stay down afterwards because they knew they were going to have a good night, a good atmosphere, a good game. And then obviously stay on, have a good night out with us afterwards, go down to the Greyhound Bar and go have a night out together. And I think that's what it really was, as I read hanging from the rafters. And that's you know, when we were talking about coming back into the league, I remember Timmy Sheehan, God rest his soul, a guy who did an awful lot to promote the game in Tralee, and did unbelievable stuff for us when we were setting up the committee. I remember telling him, you know, I want to get 700 or 800 people or 1,000 people to the complex, like, you know, and he was just looking across the table at me with two heads. And it's, you know, and even in the end, when we started getting the crowds, he gave me a little wink, you know, on the way out, because it took a bit of effort, but not overly too much, getting the pro players, and especially the Americans, Connor, getting them out to the schools. We've got two academies here with Imperials and Brendan's, and we make sure that the players are at those academies on both days. It's a part of their contract. They talk to the kids, make sure you come to the game. We have a big one Saturday night. They didn't go home and tell their parents, I want to go to the Warriors game on Saturday night. Parents might say no straight away, but if it gets persistent, which is what we tell them to do, inevitably they'll have to bring them up to the game. And all you want is that kid sitting up there looking out and doing what I did when I was 11 or 12, going home at 10 o'clock in the freezing cold during winter and going out the back playing basketball, wanting to be the American that was playing with Lee that time, wanting to be in the Ricardo Leonard. And yeah, it's two walkie-talkies. It's a walkie-talkie out by the guy who's standing the light switch and someone that's standing in the hall when we're doing our intros, turn off the lights, turn on the lights, a little smoke machine or dry ice machine that's puts out a bit of dry ice, and all of a sudden, as Kieran said, if the music is hopping and the buzz is good and the crowd are in there early, and obviously the team, you know, doing well helps that. And you know, I couldn't believe that the crowd that we faced in Maori, and it's a huge, I think what teams missed for the last number of years is how beneficial that is to the team that's on the floor. It dug us out of so many holes over the years. The crowd got us over the line in so many occasions. And basketball is a real game of runs. So if you can build momentum, you've got a big crowd in the hall, it lends to both the team doing well and then people going out the door, kind of can't wait, when's the next home game? Let's make sure we mark it in the calendar. You know, even for rural enough clubs, you know, even the likes of us, you know, we've kids from Ballybunion, we'd have over 100 kids from Ballybunion get 250-seaters into the game last week. They're great supporters of us. But, you know, even clubs can look outside their own area possibly and maybe bring the Americans out for a bit of a camp at a weekend, some weekend, and then look, come to a game sometime. And like, once you come to these games, the level of basketball that's now on the floor, Connor, as you're aware of, is getting better every year. And if we can round it off with a bit of a product, it's brilliant as well. So it's great to see, and even the crowd for the ladies game there against Holland, you know, brilliant to see the arena kind of packed like that. And that's what we have to be trying to do every weekend, everybody.
That's just one thing there that you mentioned, that as you said there on Saturday night's team would stay over. And look, I would have stayed down there in a couple too. And I remember having great chats with, let's say, some of the Source Thunder boys. And Connor, I remember Dave Hoplett talking even in the documentary We Got Game about you got to know your opponent, you stay behind. There was that kind of culture. Did your generation of player get much of that, where you would maybe go out with opponents, make a Saturday night off it, or was it just pretty much home getting ready for the next game?
No, we didn't really. the EU investing in motorways killed socializing. It became too easy for Dublin teams to be like 2 hours, you're back home. So guys were able to kind of be like, look, we'll be back in Dublin by 11:30. And you're kind of, you got too comfortable with that. So that's what made, when you're going to the likes of Tralee, Loughlin, that's what made it, like Ballinau when I was younger, like I remember it really well. And it was certainly stories that aren't going to be here, but it's like we definitely miss that. And like that in Dublin, it happens a little bit that like in town you'd have, because there's so many different teams, they all kind of go to similar places. So there'd be that camaraderie, but not on the road. And I remember Loughlin, I think it was a couple of years, maybe 2019. And we have a guy, a Polish guy in the club for a couple of years. The biggest fluke that we ever got, that we basically got a call from a pharmacist that we knew that says, look, this woman has, her husband is looking to play basketball. And you get these calls all the time in Dublin, and you're like, yeah, grand, whatever. And it's like, he's Polish. Okay, yeah, grand, whatever. It's like, he's 6'8". And we're like, okay. And here's his Eurobasket profile to show where he played like before. And you're like, we're like, Giannis is pretty much driving to his house to be like, where is this guy so I can get him to training? But Mario, when he came in, I remember it. He was down in Loughlin, and the guys in Loughlin are great. They allow you to kind of like get behind the bar or whatever for your pint. And there's a bit of a community feel there. And there's actually pictures in one of the bars in Loughlin where like Dan and Connor James's dad is in the picture from the old Loughlin tournaments and everything else. But Mario just turns around in the middle of a sing-song that's like going on. He's just like, I would never have gotten this experience in Ireland unless I was here with you guys. Like, there is no way that I would ever have kind of happened upon this. Like, I would have gone to the normal touristy kind of things, or I would have been in Dublin, but this is something so alien to kind of everything else that I've experienced. And I think we take it for granted a little bit that there's so many Europeans in the league now, and Americans as well, that we almost owe it to some of the people that come in and add so much to the league that we give them a better insight into what this country is like and the community that we have. And I think it's probably a shame that we don't have it as much as we probably should.
And what is, Kieran, like you've often had to show, I suppose, you know, imports, you know, you've made them go native or helped them go native or show them the ropes. What like, even like you're doing it almost every year. What is that process like? Let's say, how are the current guys finding it, and how do you go about integrating them?
Yeah, it doesn't sound great that we're on a basketball pod, but if guys don't drink alcohol, it's a little harder. I think We won the league and cup last year, and we had a team of alcoholics nearly. But it was you know, strictly on Saturday nights. But you know, they go heavy on Saturday nights. But that, you know, what Connor's talking about there is a kind of there is great togetherness and great bonding out of that. We've had to think a little outside the box this year. We had a great morning on the beach one morning playing games and having a bit of crack on the beach, and then dived in for a bit of a cold swim. But you know, you have to trying to generate that team bonding in different ways at times. But you know, it is, as Connor says, it is, we love when the teams stay and that you go down and get them, because this is a very competitive league, and a lot of us have a competitive streak in us. And when you're between the lines, you're this kind of, you know, probably a guy that people won't want to be around or don't like that much. But then you kind of get out and you see guys in a different environment. And
who are you thinking of? I remember being out one night, like a couple of times actually, Swords Thunder. I remember coming down, you know, when they were winning, they'd won a cup. Like, who's a guy who you've gone to war against, and then afterwards you were able to get to know him maybe in a way you wouldn't have known before? When you think of the nights out,
like you know, you mentioned Swords. Isaac was one of those. We would, you know, he'd be seriously competitive. I'd be the same. We'd be going at each other, a little bit of trash talk here and there, a bit of friendly banter, a few nudges, and then you know, you sit down and have a pint with the guy, and you'd be like, you know, I like this guy. And then you have to battle with yourself the next time you play him to kind of hate him for that 40 minutes again, knowing that he's actually a nice guy. But it's that kind of thing where all of a sudden now you're dropping a few texts before or after games or messages on Instagram or Twitter or whatever, if he's a good win or a good game. And, you know, if you know that, you know, he was playing with Colester or Swords, if they were coming to town to drop them a line, guys like Al Casey that you'll be, you know, that would have been my size, that would have banged around with underneath the basket, wouldn't have been too fond of each other at times on the court. But then you have a few points with the guy and the guy is A1. So it is a great thing to have within the teams, because, you know, 90% of the league is amateur. You know, we're doing this as a hobby, training 3 nights a week, being away from our families, getting into a car. It's not always practical. We always try and stay in Belfast when we're playing in Belfast. We always make sure we stay in Dublin once a year, depending on if there's an earlier game, so we can maybe enjoy a bit more of the nightlife. If there's a FYI, any Dublin teams putting on games at 8 o'clock, well, I don't think you'll be staying, but if there's a 6 o'clock game, it's in the realm of possibilities. But just to make sure that you stay up there, it's a bit harder, I guess, in Dublin to meet the teams in local spots like they would if they came to Killargan or Tralee, but still meeting with them for a drink and going for your night out as a team, I think, is very important in terms of building that camaraderie in a group, because it's a long, grueling season and you need something like that to lighten it all.
I remember when I was living and working in Dublin in the late 90s, early 90s, and would go to quite a few Killester games, and they put on tea and sandwiches for the opponents maybe before they hit the road. I'm just wondering, is that tradition still going anywhere, or do teams just tend to, as you say, we Cork the motorway, we're only 2.25 hours and you have the rest of the day? Or like, is there any mingling or any of that anymore?
Speaking for ourselves, like, you know, we got beaten in the cup game against Dana, tough loss against a great organization. And in fairness to them, I was walking out after giving it everything on the court and, you know, offered tea and sandwiches for the road home. You know, I know the boys, when they come, if they stay in Tralee, there's always food in the Greyhound, you know, just nuggets, sandwiches, chips, sausages, that kind of stuff, just to put fellas something in their stomach to line it. But yeah, we would often get that at games. And it's a nice touch for a crowd that are going for a travel, even if it's a small, you know, even if it's a small gesture like that, to say, look, to the team, that there's going to be a tray of sandwich and a pot of tea here after free if you want it. And obviously, you know, it is a nice thing. And, you know, I'm not overly sure about Connor when they've 6 or 7 local derbies around Dublin. I'm not sure.
Yeah, it's kind of limited enough, to be honest. But it's just as we're talking through it, there's kind of two things came to my mind. It's one is that, like on the camaraderie part of like even the top Irish players, like one of the big things that was missed out for a lot of years is that idea of even the national team or having extended squads where some of those like-minded people could actually develop those bonds away from just kind of competing against each other, which is something that's changing now. You're seeing a lot more. So there's some of the guys who are coming up now are probably more close-knit than we probably would have. So I wouldn't have known some of the guys as well as I probably should have. You kind of know people from in basketball, you often identify yourself by the year that you're born, and like, you know, the 86s, you know, the 87s or whatever, because you grew up playing against them. But at adult level, you don't really have that as much. And I think the Irish team was a big part of that being kind of missing. But the other thing that kind of sticks to me is that, and it's a good and a bad thing of the league, is that with the amount of Europeans that are coming in, and teams change so much at the moment, year on year, that like it's good in that it's raised the standard, but it's bad in a way that I certainly felt that when I came back and played last year, that I was kind of looking around, and this part age that I didn't know everybody, but part kind of going, like, I don't know who these people are, and I'm not really, like, I'd rather battle with Fergal O'Sullivan because I know Fergal and we've had 4 run-ins in the past couple of years and I know he's a good lad or whatever else, but or even like a Paddy Sullivan who guarded me better than most people in Ireland would guard me, and I didn't really like playing against him, but I like the challenge of playing against him, whereas you don't always have that with guys who are just coming in for a season and then they're gone. And I think that's one of the things that we have to figure out as clubs in general, and it's part of that integration, is if there's going to be guys coming in all the time, is how do we create something that's kind of bigger than just the 40 minutes on the floor, and how do we kind of show something that's bigger than that?
Yeah, because there is a transient nature to basketball. I mean, you know, even in the NBA, they've talked about, you know, that even the top players move around so much, but at least they're known. There's always been that with Irish basketball, but I'm looking at Tralee, and I suppose you've had several players that stayed several years, Kieran. Like, I'm thinking of like Trey Pemberton really helped you get the thing established, but then Trey moves on, and there's a generation or people who've been going to Tralee games for 2 or 3 years who wouldn't know who he is. You know, one comes in the door, another goes. But I suppose maybe with going back to what Connor said, like, you still have a glue of yourself, Skinny, Fergal. But that is a challenge, getting that blend between, wait a second, I don't know these guys. Whereas you grew up maybe stereotypically even Marion, you know, Donald Brannock, you know, you knew all that vintage who played with them. What way have you gone about that, or how do you find that point that Connor's making?
Ian, Connor made a good point, and, you know, for me as a youngster, that was nearly always the excitement. You were nearly disappointed if the same American came back, unless he was absolutely unbelievable. But you nearly wanted to see what the new player was like the whole time. And obviously, I think, you know, most teams are bringing in an American every year. And obviously, you're trying to get a European guy, and they do move around. But you still have to have your core guys, and that Marion team that Connor played with still had their core group. Because it's a bit harder now, I think, because maybe back in the day, a bit the younger players that were coming through, you know, you'd see them playing so much longer. But now I think the top young players that are coming through are probably going to try to go to college in America, because that door is so wide open now, and it's such an unbelievable opportunity for these kids to go out and experience that. That, you know, I think these Europeans are important to keep the standard of the league as where it's at, because if you've got your best young kids coming through and they're so good that they're going to the States, and that's why I love what kind of Neptune have done with the bringing back a Jordan Blunt, you know, and, you know, if they could even add a Sean Jenkins to that next year, you know, I think that's maybe the model that the team should be trying to go and trying to offer the kids that leave, that if they get to such a high level over there, that, listen, look, come back, we'll make you a pro, and we can talk to Johnny downtown, he owns an insurance company, and your degree will work well with that. And, you know, even lining that up 2 or 3 years in advance, you know, so that we get this cohort of players that are at a really high level, both from the guys that mightn't be of the standard to go to America for 4 years, but just improve by staying at home and earning their crust at Super League level, learning off the guys at training, learning off the pros that come in from training, and then your guys coming back to try and, as Connor says, trying to get more kind of solidity within the group of players. But sport, you know, every year, including the GAA, fellas go, fellas come in. It's needed for a bit of excitement to see something different. But I do agree with the point that you do want to see that core group of fellas. And myself and Connor are probably at the age now where there's probably more of us retiring than playing on. So every year you're probably losing a few of the guys you kind of knew, because it look, you know, when you get to I'm 39, I'm going to be 40 in March. You've 3 kids. You know, I have a busy job. It's a hard commitment, and you got to really love the game, and you got to really want to give it everything for your fans, for your committee, for the people around the club, for the next generation of kids that are coming, that you want to make sure that they're looking at someone that's doing it right. But it is a big commitment. You know, you're kind of talking about September to April, every Saturday night, you know.
What is it like? Like, you guys are lifers, and okay, you had obviously a well-known sabbatical. And Kerry for a while, but you had, you know, you within year one or year two with Russ, you were starting, you know. What we're talking about the churn of the pros, but I'm thinking of, let's say, the kids, particularly, let's say, at Division One, National League. What's that experience like as a 20, 21-year-old bench player being National League? And as you said, for 6 months, you're traveling up and down the country. You know, every second week, you're on the road. What is the experience like being a National League player?
Yeah, it, for those guys, there's no doubt. I did it for kind of 4 or 5 weeks, being a bench player at the start, and I take it that that's a very short time, very short time period. But what I would say is, you know, I think there's a bit of mental toughness needed, but I think there's a huge amount of dedication that's needed, because if you think you're going to make that gap up by going to training on Tuesday, like you look at someone that can shoot the ball like Connor, like he didn't become the sharpshooter, one of the best of all time in this country, by shooting on Tuesday night and Thursday night and showing up for games on Saturday. Like he just didn't. That was early morning practice. That was late morning. I wrote about it in my book, Colin Mannix picking me up on the bar of his bike, taking me up to the complex, lashing rain, freezing cold winter, shimmying my way into the complex without paying or without, you know, giving your man the wink at the door, or we're only going to be in for 15 minutes. We got school to go to, and then you'll be sweating coming out of there an hour and a half later, late for school. But like, I think guys that want to make this, and we've had this in Tralee because we've got Brendan's and Imperials, and they're both doing unbelievable work on the underage structures and the academies and the coaching that's going into the kids at every age group. And then there's the kind of talk of, you know, there's not enough of them maybe ready to come in and play at 19 at a Super League level. And that is 100% something they have to battle with, because obviously these kids could be going to college. Are they going to drive down from Limerick or Cork every night to training if they're not playing? I think there's a huge part that has to come down to how much you want it. What's your desire levels like? Are you going to go into that dark place away from the lights, away from Instagram, where nobody knows it, where you're just getting your 500 shots up every morning so that when you're getting your opportunities in the game, that you're hitting everything? Are you going into the training with the mindset of, you know, am I all into this? Am I kind of into this? Oh, I'm not going to play. Will I really try? Will I win that sprint? Will I get that hustle play? Or are you coming in absolute tractor beam focused, looking to take the head off somebody to get their jersey and go all out as a teammate to try and get the guys ready for the weekend? So I think that there's a huge disparity in them levels between certain kids. And, you know, I think the kids that really want it and really fancy playing Super League and representing their town for the next 10 years at a level, they're the ones that probably go away and find the extra time in the off season and during the season to really work in their game. And that's the question I would always pose to Tommy: isn't playing enough? It's, you know, he should be playing more. Okay, what's he doing to play more? You know, is Tuesday, Thursday, and the game the weekend, is that what he's doing? And if the answer is yes, well then he's just not doing enough. You can't make that gap up. And it's harder now because of the of social media and fellas sitting on TikTok and sweeping through TikTok. You see it on the buses on the way home from games. Guys will just go away to a world of their own. So I take it that it was easier for maybe me and Connor to get up at 6 o'clock and go get them extra shots. I went with Antoine Gillespie when he's here for that year, learned a whole lot about how you prepare for a shooting session. You know, don't just go and shoot shots. I learned from Dave Hopla when he talked about tracking your shots. If you're going to take 200 shots, how do you know you're getting better if you don't know what you scored? You know, if you're going to shoot 200 every day, that's great. But how do you know you improve? And or did you have a bad day today? And why did I have a bad day? And I didn't get enough sleep last night. Okay, maybe I'll get more sleep and I'll make more shots tomorrow. You got to track the shots to know if you're getting better. So all them kind of things are huge, Kieran, in that question you posed.
I think just to add to it is, I think there's a huge amount of attrition. A lot of people who are willing to kind of be on the bench, Super League, say our National League, and say they did it for a couple of years and then they kind of exit out and the next kind of person comes in and does the same thing. And I think in the years gone by, there would have almost been a pecking order within the club of, okay, well, if I wait 2 or 3 years, I'll be 21, 22, I'll be able to get my chance. And then all of a sudden there's a European player there where there isn't just a route to automatically being on the floor. And that's what some people will perceive to be the negative of it. But on the flip side of it, I think one of the big things that the mentality used to be, and it still is, and it's a problem that needs to be changed, and it feeds into everything Kieran's saying there, is that it used to be you either go to America or else you kind of just continue on whatever you were as a player when you were 19. The majority of Irish players are the exact same player when they're 26, 27, just with a little bit more tactical or knowledge or experience. And so few Irish players, particularly in that age group of kind of 18 to 24, ever develop their game anymore. They kind of are what they are, and it's like he's either a shooter underage, and then he's a shooter super.
Is that on them or perception? It's
on them, but it's also on the clubs to have the environment for those sort of guys. It's not. I think there's sometimes an acceptance that it's just kind of, he's a young lad playing Super League, so let's just see how he gets on in Super League training over the next kind of year or so. He might play a few minutes and then he'll develop naturally. But I think there's we probably do a disservice to, we're certainly looking at it. It's very topical for us at the moment with our Super League team, because we have these young guys who are coming in straight from 20s, and we're trying to kind of figure out what way to nurture them over the next couple of years to make sure that they, like, that it's not just, let's wait for Owen Nelson to come back from the States. It's how do we develop the guys that do stay? And I think, like, Adrian O'Sullivan, the path that he took over the last couple of years, that he stayed, or like he went to prep school or whatever, but he stayed in UCC for a couple of years and then was able to go professional out of being at home for a couple of years. And the reason that he was able to do it was because he was in a really good environment with Colin, and he got an opportunity to play for Demons. But there was an expectation around that team and everything that they were doing that he developed to a high level. And it's a thing that we have to figure out of, and that's Basketball Ireland have to figure it out, but the clubs have to figure it out as well, and the universities and different things of, don't just accept that a guy has stayed at home and let's see what he becomes over the next couple of years. It's like, challenge people to be more. And I think part of why I was interested in this podcast, why I was interested in doing a bit with the Examiner, is that it's hard to do that slog of the season all the time when there's no recognition to what's going on within the league. And people sometimes talk about like the GAA and everything else, and the work that guys put into the game. Absolutely, absolutely true. But the rewards and the way that they're perceived as a reward for that sort of work isn't always there within basketball. And that's why you lose so many of these guys. So it's finding a way to nurture them, but also to shine a light on them so that they get rewarded for all the work that they put in, so that they want to stay, keep doing it. And I think it goes back into the crowds part of it, all feeds back into that. It's a lot more interesting to do all the work if you're getting rewarded with couple of hundred people on a Saturday night rather than just being in like a gym where no one's watching. I think the streaming idea, now that everyone can see all your games, all these sort of things all feed into it, but it's just, we have to figure out a way to keep nurturing it.
Just on that, like, it's because I sometimes think of that 20-21 year old, and like, whereby that commitment that's involved in going up and down the country. But you have to, as you said, it's about them raising the standard. And, you know, Ireland isn't where it's still wanting to progress as a sport. That, I suppose, the National League model is the best way, that you are playing a game every weekend. I'm just looking at it that, but it is a big commitment. You know, like, let's say we would have traditionally, and your father would have been of the generation that, like, the National League initially was actually a blitz format, you know, where it was once a month and you got in your four or five games at a weekend, but for the other three weekends you were tipping over. Like, is the current Super League has to be the way it is, but I sometimes think Division One is the home and away 20 weekends through the year the best model, or would a blitz like format, or, you know, is it overly grueling, or is it not? If you're signed up to be a National League player, it's a level above, and this is the way you have to get your 20 games, and it's best to have it week in, week out.
I've obviously worked fairly closely to a lot of it, and I think the model's right. I think the blitz model where we need to get to is at underage level, that there isn't enough, like, good underage teams don't get enough high quality games. And there's a reason that we then struggle with some of the basic things when we get to international level, that we, like, too often teams play zone, schools games where you just stand and hope someone misses, all that sort of stuff. And it's only by bringing the top teams together more regularly that you'll ever develop that. But at senior level, I think there has to be, again, don't apologize for it being difficult at times, that it's like there needs to be the reward at the end of it, and at the same time it's a big challenge. And if you can get it all right and get to the Super League and be top level, then there should be big rewards at the end of it. And the other reward that's come back in is obviously national teams, and you're I know all three of us saw like part of the Netherlands game last week, and look, it was a disappointing second half that ultimately was our undoing. But you see all of what we're talking about in that game in terms of the shooting ability from the three-point line is still always a challenge, because we don't have enough people who are able to get all those shots up all the time to get to a high level, whereas other nations do. They find the way to make that happen. And then equally, the skill set of we have a really interesting group of young players who've come through the Claire Amelias and that kind of generation, and a couple of age groups around them. And you're already starting to see separation within those sort of players, that like Claire Amelia was peerless on the court last week in terms of all the simple things that she allows you to do. And you're seeing her develop because she's being pushed to keep developing, and that national team is there for her to do so. But it's in order for us to be competitive at international level, it's the other people who, particularly the ones who stay at home, that have to be able to keep developing to kind of stay up with that level. And I think going back to the original point is that absence of that top level international basketball was one of the things that wasn't driving the standard. And it's one of the things that really does help drive the league, certainly in my opinion.
No, huge, Connor. I mean, obviously, it's well documented. We lost our national teams at the start of 2010, when particularly the women's were on the verge of a big breakthrough. Look, you've documented it, the history of the national teams. But like, you take those girls who were in the arena, I think a big thing is that kind of talent has been retained, because if you look at that, the groups of the 2010s, you know, like even like James Weldon, the national team coach, would have coached, a very good UL team and kept them to a standard. But ultimately, players like Louise Galvin, like Aoife McDermott, Lindsay Pete with DCU, who obviously Mark has a special program up there, they ultimately, there wasn't that carrot off the green flag of standing in front of the flag, and therefore they went and played for Ireland and other sports. We've been now that the national team is back, first through the small countries, and now thankfully back in the Eurobasket qualifiers. That is a huge thing. Like, and we've been able to retain, that core group. Like, Dana plays at a high level at Gaelic, but basketball is almost her number one, because it gives her that opportunity to play against and with elite players, international players. So that is, I think that was a big stepping stone. It would have been just beautiful if they got the W, like having played so brilliantly in the first half. As you said, certain things maybe catching us, like, I suppose with the profile, you tell me better, physically, we nearly should be a dominant or an exceptional three-point shooting nation, but we're not, because, as you said, the hoop, finding the gym time. And obviously, you're going up against pros, people playing in the top leagues in Europe. But I interviewed Jordan Blunt for the paper on Saturday. And obviously, he's a new breed of player. He's gone through a different model. He went over to the continent when he was 16, having spent a year in England the year before that. And now that he's back, he has been struck by, we're still, as much as we're going to have over the next 7 years, he reckons, we have that conveyor belt of player in the States who will come back and possibly play in the league. The guys who are here, we're always going to have to raise the standard. We're always going to have core group of guys in the league. And they, he feels, just have to do more of everything. The extras, as you said, when it comes to the shots, I suppose having that high performance mindset, that the way that an intercounty GA player would, now it goes back to what you're saying, that element of recognition. If you're a Limerick hurler, you're a high performer because you're getting the recognition rewards. But it's a chicken egg. It's a chicken egg. And I know, let's say with the women's program, they've worked hard at pushing it up. You see Sarka Tiernan in the small countries hit six threes in the semi-final, and the work she's been putting in on that, but you need more of them doing more of it
for the players. 100%. And I think one of the things that sometimes we get caught up with is, and Kieran, your coaching kind of side, we'll come into this, is that sometimes it's like high performance, and you, the first thing you get into is funding, and the first thing you kind of get into is, are we pros and all this sort of stuff. But it's often a culture and a mindset of how do we even approach being high performance to set the bar for that. So, and especially in a small island of that kind of, we should be able to do a little bit more. And it goes back, I think, to the original conversation around the kind of camaraderie and different things between those top level players, that we should still be able to foster some sort of high performance environment for those top guys, and then hopefully be able to reward them in the right way over the coming years.
100%. Like you see the rugby guys, you know, they're as high performance as anybody. They still have their few beers after every game. You know, it was a big complaint to the GAA players, why do we have to drink for 8 weeks when the rugby boys can have a few beers after a game in Twickenham on a Saturday when they get ready to play France the following Sunday in Lansdowne Road? So it is a factor. But I think what's the elephant in the room with both of your conversations on that and is the TV element. You know, it's like streaming is great. That's only really hitting people who really want to see it. You know, yeah. You want to try and hit people, and that's why the cup final opened my eyes to that. You know, when you start going around to the schools and all the kids are coming up, you know, that have watched the game in the weekend and know guys on our squad that mightn't be overly known, and it's kind of like, you know, I saw you on, like, TV is where it's at, because that brings sponsors. You know, if the sponsors had some idea that, yes, the cup final is going to be on TV, but you know what we're going to do? We're going to talk to somebody about getting the cup semi-finals on TV, but we're also going to talk about the end-of-year playoffs, because they're just as good and just as big, and you're guaranteed that nobody's going to get knocked out in an earlier round. All the best teams will be there at the end of the season, and we're going to show the semi-finals and finals of that. You know, and then we'll show the national games, and then we'll show the ladies, you know, we'll try and set that up. And I think if you were streaming regular season games all the time and we were getting more TV, you can be more high performing, because people will automatically buy in more. You're maybe getting more sponsorships, and all, you can maybe bring in a high performance strength and conditioning coach. You know, like the basketball coach is dealing with the committee. He's dealing with 15 guys, maybe 20 guys, some of them that aren't playing. He's trying to keep them happy. He's trying to keep the pros happy. He's losing games. He's under pressure. He's trying to get fellas to go to the gym.
Where do you see it fitting in, Kieran, though, and making that happen? I remember TG Cahir, when they were starting out, had live games on Saturday evenings. And you know, we had 14 Super League teams at the time. And I remember even Scott McCarthy, who was the CEO at the time, saying, look, some of the guys we have on the floor aren't in shape and a great advertisement for us. And then obviously TG Cahir went the ladies football route, and we've seen how it's blossomed. And we're in the Champions League era. Obviously, Club GAA is becoming all the more prevalent, either streaming or on TG Cahir. Like, where is this? Where is there a possible slot that you see?
There's a slot. Yeah, there's a slot. I think there's a slot on Friday nights. And Basketball Ireland, when they're doing their fixtures every year, try and make sure that there's a good local derby on every Friday night, whether it's the two Dublin teams, whether it's a few Cork teams playing, whether it's the two Galway teams. You have a load of Dublin derbies that are easy set up that everyone would be able to get to on a Friday night at 8 o'clock. Friday night's a good night to have it, because crowds will say, oh, I go to the game Friday night. We still have Saturday to do this, and we still have Sunday to do that. So I think Friday night is the gap, and TG Cahir are unbelievable with their promotion of the game in the last number of years, and have done a great job with every game they've gone. And, you know, I think Basketball Ireland nearly need to be knocking down the door of them and saying, listen, can we try and get a few more? Look, the national team is great. The cup final is great. But is there any slot that we can help you with to kind of get it? Because the game has never been more popular, Kieran, you know, and Connor would have seen that as well. Anybody that is... I've said this before, when I was retiring out of the Kerry dressing room in 2008, 50% of the squad knew more.
2018.
Yeah, more.
You were
passed
it by then, 2008. You were in your prime, in fairness, but go on.
More of the squad knew about basketball and NBA rosters and cap room than I did. It was getting kind of slightly embarrassing. I was kind of staying away from talking to guys about the intricacies of the NBA, because obviously I had a lot going on myself, but these guys knew who can they get, what the cap room was like. And that's because they're seeing it every day on their phone, and they're obviously seeing the games on Sky Sports, and, you know, come the playoffs, they're huge moments. And I think you know, the problem you have with maybe the guy with the that's carrying a bit of weight and is out of shape on TV isn't the good, like, I don't think you have too much of that in
that's
the league.
Not,
like, the
not,
league
is
the league is incredibly fit now. The level of athlete is unbelievable. And if we're talking about bringing the game to the next level, there's only one answer for it. It must get on national television, in my eyes.
I agree with you. I think the roots as well, the other thing that was always a barrier in people's minds was that, look, some of the gyms and different things, you don't want to show what's going on in these. And what you get to, or what needs to be the point that you eventually get to with this, is that it's kind of like, you don't, just because you're in the league doesn't mean you get a home game on TV. You put together the package that shows why you deserve to have it. What is the marketing plan around it to show that you're going to have a packed out place? You're going to do everything that it needs. And it's the circus coming to town once a year for a lot of the clubs. And it means that they go all out. And once they go all out and see that they can do it, then it also feeds back into that other stuff that they constantly, oh, well, that actually wasn't that difficult. How do we keep doing that? And look, I get it completely because, look, we, as you said, the committees who run a lot of these teams in particular, they're stretched, and they want new energy to come in and support them as well. And it all comes back into this. If you give people a platform that people want to be involved in it, they want to help it kind of grow, it's very hard to kind of drive something to begin. But once that kind of platform is there, then things can kind of grow up.
Sure. It's the sport. Like, the one thing is, it's been shown before. It happens. I mean, look what we said. Tralee's doing what Neptune are doing. And look what a club like Neptune and so many others did in the '80s. Like basketball showed the way on this. So and fought its way on the TV schedule back, you know, to establish the cup live when there was little live sports. So I suppose it comes down to, as you say, not waiting around for it to happen, but also believing in the product. And like, we do have, as you said, and Irish sport has progressed hugely in those 20 years that I'm talking about, since, let's say, TG Carr would have last covered the league live. I mean, Irish sport across the board now are high performing, whatever the sport, you know. You look at what the Irish women's hockey team have done, and there is a greater awareness now of, you know, let's say, sport being for all. And I've made this point in your company before, Connor. Like, I think basketball was potentially undersold. What a refuge it's been traditionally, historically, for women's sport in this country. You know, like, it was in terms of team sport, it along with, you know, it was the ground blazing. Like, even there, just was checking something historically there, where Mary Bainham was the president of the association. She was the first woman on FIBA, you know, like what was from Ireland. And and now we have that generation, as you say, that are now back. We're now disappointed Ireland are losing to Holland by 3 points when we were off the national stage. We now have those players, and going back to what Jordan's talking about, we have a stream of lads like Kieran would have played. And you know, that's the advantage of, or the great thing about the National League. A lot of your boys, like Rap, Kieran, you know, like Leroy, who, you know, were on the bench as 16-year-olds.
Ryan Leonard,
you know, they've gone on to the States now. And as you said, the model could be that they come back here and be semi-pro. I mean, you know, it was a very adult conversation I had with Jordan Blunt for tomorrow. And I recommend people to fascinating character, you know, speaks about actually, like, Jordan's actually, like, he's had personal tragedy with his father dying 2 years ago. His brother, unfortunately, is terminally ill. He's actually converted he's converted over to being a Muslim now, because his wife is of the same. But one of the things that he also is that, you know, he's straight up, yeah, right, he's a professional basketballer, and he is now getting paid by his home club, Neptune, which should be the model. Where, you know, there before it was something that was skirted around, or the notion that you should pay a top Irish player just because, and you're spending money that could bring more guys like him or keep him, instead of a lad from Poland or Spain who'll be gone next year. That model, no, I think clubs like Neptune and even what Tralee have done, I think the league is getting better. Like, I was glad to hear that it's a 3-year contract that he has with Neptune. You know, before it's often just year by year these things roll. So the league itself is becoming stronger. And now that we have our national teams back, and going back to, as you said, the profile of, let's say, the NBA has never been bigger. You know, the sport is in a position of strength going into the room with the likes of those TV companies.
Absolutely. And look, we'll go whistle stop before we finish up. We have, obviously, we're heading into quarterfinal weekend of the National Cup this weekend. Kieran Shannon, look, on the women's side, obviously, some of these players have just played internationally. Now they have to come back. Is there anyone you're kind of looking out for, or any matchup you're kind of looking out for this weekend over in the women's?
Yeah, like it's a very even league, but just by virtue, I think there was two heavyweight battles in the first round, you know, which knocked out the two Cork teams, you know, Glanmire and Brunel. So that was kind of the bruising. I mean, you'd expect DCU to advance. But one or two of the others ones, like the Liffey Celtics one, against Wildcats. Like that one's an intriguing one, because obviously you have the two young Hickeys are lighting it up. Liffey aren't quite as strong as they were 3 or 4 years ago, but still got some proud players like Anya O'Connor and Sarka. So it's I'm looking out for that one. That's the pick of it. But look, I suppose the men's one is just set up. It's an intriguing draw the way it's fallen, hasn't it?
It's look, I think you couldn't have four better matchups, four more issues.
Sure, when I think you'd like to be in there.
Kieran, which of the games kind of stood out to you? Do you think will be the most interesting?
I think they're all actually really exciting and interesting battles. Obviously, the Neptune and Aina, and again, are in a good run of form. They're starting to find themselves, but you know, this trip to Neptune now has never been more daunting. I always found Neptune daunting to walk into anyway because of the size of the arena. And it was obviously, when I was a kid, it was a kind of a real place that I used to go and watch these big games when I was 7 or 8 and be brought down there to these huge crowds. So they're gonna absolutely pack this place out on Saturday evening, and Kieran's lucky enough to be down there with those kids from Clare. They're gonna get a real eye opener to the game, and that's what it's about. I think home advantage is huge in the cup, Connor. You know, I think we had Aina above there, and there was a stage in the game where, you know, they hit a three, got a steal and hit another three, and next thing, like, you know, it's you're going off to the bench and it's deafening and the place is rocking, and that's just massive for the home team coming late on in the cup game when it gets into that desperation clawing for your life to try and win a game scenario. So I think Neptune might just edge that with the home advantage. But another big one for me is this Mary and Belfast combination, because Belfast are, you know, a real sharp shooting team, and Mary obviously have probably a bit have more size than them inside with the two big boys. But you know, the two Quins are you know, can light it up at any stage. They've got the two Maxes who are really good players, and then they've got that cohort of Irish guys that can come in and make a difference. And for me, those two, obviously Paul Dick and Colester, they're going to
Emporium Cork Basketball. So it's,
yeah. And colleague, that's going to be another absolute belter of a game, because, you know, we Emporium or Ballincollig, as we would know them, are, you know, serious team now. Like, you know, the three O'Sullivans are serious. You know, they've got Keelan Kearns down from Belfast, who's a big body, can shoot the three and stretch the floor. And when you can stretch the floor, players like Adrian O'Sullivan, and the American they have is very dangerous. And then, as I said, Ronan's able to come in and give Keelan the breaks, and then they can go big and match up as well with the two of them, which they did against Neptune last week in that unbelievable game. So,
yeah,
you know, that's going to be another brilliant one. Obviously, Paul Dick is flying for Colester, and he's really exciting to see. So, look, there's Marion and Vincent's as well, which is a derby game, which could throw up anything. So, yeah. Four unbelievable games this weekend count.
No, they're brilliant. Just from my own point, is like, look, Aina went to Neptune and won a couple of weeks ago, but Neil Sabata wasn't playing for Neptune. And yeah. The other big question is that Tomic, who was so important in that win, he was in a walking boot last week, didn't play against Colester. So that'll be a big thing. It could be a big momentum swing that if Neil's back and Tomic isn't playing, it could have a huge impact.
Unless you can go into these booths for anything these days, Conor. I was in the arena for the college basketball event last week, and two kids came up to me with these space boots on. And I was like, what happened? I was expecting ruptured Achilles or fractured ankles and soft tissue damage in my foot. And I said, all right, and when they went away, I said, oh, we're going to start putting kids in space boots. So how much could have a small injury?
We've seen it before that the cup is a miraculous healer for lots of people. So the John Dawson for Ballincollig and Paul Dick, it's like the perfect matchup. Colester have been very unfortunate with a lot of injuries so far, but when they get it right, they can be very good. The Marie one, I think in order to win trophies in Ireland, you have to have an Irish player or two who can come up in the big moments when you're really tested. I don't think you can find a team who's won a trophy that hasn't had a really critical Irish player. So whether it's going to be an old Rockall or one of the other lads, it's just going to be interesting to see when Marie get really tested, who's going to be that guy who's kind of the rock who does that for them. And then the Marion one is interesting because Yosko, who coaches Vincent's this year, is the one who recruited in John Jean last year, who's our American, who's leading the league in scoring. Marion beat Vincent's a couple of weeks ago, where Yosko was kind of, Vincent's didn't turn up on the night, so they're looking for a bit of payback, and it should be the two teams that aren't a million miles away from each other in terms of level, so it's the weakest of the four matchups, but it should still be really interesting. So look, that's a whistle-stop tour of kind of what's happening this weekend, but also kind of a really interesting conversation around a lot of different things in Irish basketball. And I think that's the ambition for this All-Net podcast over the next couple of weeks, is just to give people, as you said, Kieran, with the TV stuff, open the door to people and show that there's a lot going on within the sport, and that
The sport has great talking points, and we maybe don't air them publicly enough. We'll have them behind people's backs outside. And I think it's a strength, you know, to play to it, because there is so many talking points and characters within the sport. And the cup quarterfinal now, because look, it's a ticket to, we're talking about Neptune there, it's a ticket to that weekend. And you know, we weren't able to have it last year. Kieran played a great game against Dana last year, but you know, there was no one else in the hall because of COVID. So that is going to be probably our first big get together as a sport, you know, at the club level.
I think there was a few in there 2 meters apart here.
maybe 200, was it? That's right. Yeah. out of their seat at your man's dunk. Do you remember that takeaway? Even including Ricardo. So yeah. So it's a big weekend, you know, to get to that weekend. So yeah.
Lots to look forward to. There's also, of course, the NICC match between my Division One team and Vincent's that a lot of people are hoping to are with Aina. That I'm sure people are. I'm not sure if there's tickets on sale, but anyway, lads, look, appreciate you both joining us for the first episode, and hopefully there'll be lots more talking points over the coming weeks.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.